Please stand for the reading of God's word from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that, as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Well, this morning we are starting a new sermon series, not out of the book of 2 Corinthians, but out of many different passages. We're going to be focusing on the topic of hospitality in the Christian life, calling this series A Life of Welcome. Hospitality probably makes you think about restaurants and fancy hotels and concierge and valet. I used to valet, something like that, right? Some sort of service industry. But from a biblical perspective and the historic life of God's people, hospitality has been a personal, vibrant, crucial mark of every community and Christian who calls God their Savior, friend, and King. Biblical hospitality is not just a specialized skill for some or for people in a certain industry. It's something that all of us can do, something that all of us are called to do, no matter how old or young, no matter how rich or poor. Biblical hospitality, as we'll come to see through this series, is living a life of welcome towards others, wherever they are, with whatever you have, for whoever may come your way. That's the basic definition of biblical hospitality that we'll work with, that it's living a life of welcome towards others wherever they are, with whatever you have, for whoever may come our way. That's what we are called to in the gospel and in scripture. And it may seem, in light of our announcement this week, or maybe hard news in your life, hard news in the world, a long season that you're going through, you're tired, you're busy, there's a lot going on, that now is not the best time for me to be thinking about hospitality. And I get that. But I would say that actually, once we start to understand what true biblical hospitality means, what it means to welcome one another and to receive welcome as God has welcomed us, there's actually no greater time that we need to be welcomed, that we need to understand what it is to receive a welcome, than when life is hard. It's actually for the most difficult times of life and in those moments when hospitality is most crucial. As we'll see, hospitality is also for when life has you down. My hope is that through this series, we will come to know and grow into greater and greater practices of hospitality and welcome, even in hard times. And to do that, we're going to look at four different topics throughout this series, spending 2 weeks on each. We're going to talk about defining hospitality. What is it? What is it really about? Not what do we culturally understand to be, but what does God say hospitality is supposed to be? We're going to talk about the need for hospitality. Why does this matter? Why is it crucial? Why do Paul and others spend time talking about this? Why has this been the evidence of the life of the church in history? We're going to talk about the power of hospitality. What can it really do when it gets into your life and the lives of others? And finally, we'll talk in the last 2 weeks about the extent of hospitality. How far does this thing really go? What am I called to do? What does it carry me into? So this week, we're heading into part one of defining hospitality. And we're doing that here through an infamous passage on generosity that I want to help us see is at its core really about welcome and hospitality. Paul reveals a lot here about what this life of whatever, whenever, for whoever, that kind of life of welcome, what that's about. And it has way more than we can get to in one sermon here. I've already had to leave out things I would have loved to talk about. So there, if you want to spend more time and really dig into it, there's a lot here. But we're going to try to get into that definition, that first starting point of what is this thing called biblical hospitality by looking at three things. We're going to look at what Paul has to say about the what of hospitality. We're going to look at what he has to say about the when of hospitality. And finally, the source or the how of hospitality. So the what, the when, and the how. Before we get into those things, let me invite you to pray with me and let's ask God to fill up our hearts as we consider his word. Father, we thank you for another moment to pause in our service as Greg reminded us to know that you hear us, that you want to hear from us right now, that you have us on your heart. That what's on our heart is also of importance to you. You know how much we need welcome, God. You know the ways that maybe we've felt so unwelcome in the past. Maybe the ways we feel unwelcome right now today. You know how to welcome us in and make us those who get to share that with other people. I can't do that. You can do that for each of us, though. And so I pray that you would. Would you show us your welcome this morning? Would you welcome us in such a way that overflows to those around us so that through one another we might come to know more of your welcome in our lives? In your name we pray. Amen. Now, if you still have Bibles open from our scripture reading, or if you don't, there should be one in the pew in front of you. We're going to go back through the text a little bit together this morning. And we're going to start talking about the what of hospitality more or less at the end of this passage. It'll come up largely through verses 13 and 14. But what is biblical hospitality? We're going to spend the next couple of weeks talking about that. And different passages use different language, different pictures to talk about these things. There's probably a lot of different ways we can talk about it. But I just want to step back for a second and say that it's probably both more than you think and less than you think. Biblical hospitality is probably both more and less than we think. It's certainly more than hosting a meal. And it's also much less than that. It's more than opening your home to someone. And it's less than that. It's more than using your money, your resources, your time to help someone. And it's less than that. It's more than giving someone a truly warm welcome. A hug that says, you are so welcome here. And it's also less than that. True biblical hospitality is going to go beyond our expected categories for what it means to welcome someone else. It's going to push us into both uncomfortable and comforting places. And so when Paul talks about biblical hospitality here, I want us to see how it might start to stretch us into places we don't expect hospitality to go. Paul gives a core principle in these verses 13 through 14 about where hospitality goes in us. He says, to read it again, verse 13, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness," or maybe equality would be a better way to translate it, "your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness or equality. Paul's talking about sharing one another's burdens. When you have a need, I see that, I recognize that, and I meet you in that. When I have a need, you see that, you meet me in that, you recognize that. If someone has a burden, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever it is, I, in whatever way I can, make efforts to carry that with them. It's a carrying of one another's burdens. Where we have abundance, we offer it to someone's need. Where someone else has abundance and we have needs, they offer it to us. This kind of hospitality, this sharing one another's burdens, is drawing us to see that ultimately hospitality is trying to drive at this idea that you are not meant to be alone in the world. So often our problems, our heartaches, our brokenness make us feel alone. No one understands, no one sees, no one cares. Hospitality, the welcome of the church, of God's people, is meant to see people who feel unseen, to step into where they feel alone, to hear where they feel unheard. In other words, hospitality means that we are to be connected, not isolated. We're not to leave someone alone in the world. We're to welcome in the needs of people around us as though we face those needs together. As though we face them with them rather than they face them on alone, rather than they face them alone. It's as if it becomes our problem. This is not just you and your problem, that I step into this with you and I'm going to face it with you. Hospitality calls us to face problems like it's us against the problem, like it's us against hunger, like it's us against loneliness, like it's us against tough financial situations that just won't break, like it's us against prejudice and discrimination that just seems to keep coming up, like it's us against violence and oppression, like it's us against injustice. Us against depression and anxiety, us against cancer, us against disease and chronic pain, us in these things, not just you. It's not just a you problem in the Christian understanding of welcome. It is an us problem. It concerns us too. That's what Paul is actually saying in verse 2. It says their generosity. Actually, that word is more like their sincere concern. It was about their heart, their concern for others. They were concerned about their problem. Now, immediately that can make you a little bit afraid. You can feel like, what is this, communism? We're just stepping in and everything, there's no boundaries, there's no me, you just take whatever you want, I have to give you whatever you ask for. No, that's not what Paul says. Verse 12, he says, we give according to what we have, not what we don't have. It's not that you get to ask me or someone else for whatever, and no matter what you ask for, we just give it to you. That's not hospitality, that's control. That's using people. That's not being in connection. We still get to be individuals with limits who can say yes and no to things. You see, Jesus all the time, who else was more welcoming, more hospitable than Jesus? And Jesus all the time saying, no, I won't do that right now. No, I'm not going over there. No, I'm done for the day. Jesus, as great as he was in hospitality, also expressed to us the limits of being human, that there are times and ways where you have to say, I can't go that far, and yet I still care deeply about you. We still get to have limits. But as Christians, hospitality means our fundamental posture towards others, and this was certainly true of Jesus, our fundamental posture towards others is those who step into the problems of other people wherever we can. Whether we can go as far as we would like to, whether we can go as far as someone else wants us to, our fundamental posture is we would like that if we're able to. Because we have, as verses 4 and 11 talk about, some earnest desire, a deep longing to do what we can, that we care about those around us, that they matter to us. Yes, there are limits, but there is a desire to step into the world of those around us. And I want us to see through what Paul's talking about this when he's saying in verse 12 that you can have limits, that it's according to what you have, not what you don't have, that it's about a desire, that ultimately hospitality is about a posture of the heart towards other people. Hospitality is not fundamentally just hosting a meal, using your home if you have a home, using your resources. It is not about what you do. It is about your fundamental orientation to the world and the people around you. It is a posture that desires to welcome. We take this posture, Paul says, because it's actually good for us, not just for those who receive it. There's a mutuality to Christian hospitality that is so important and so different from common notions of hospitality. Christian hospitality is meant to benefit both those who give and receive. It's not just good for them, for the people that I help, that I'm so kind, I give my time, I give my energy, I'm such a good friend. No. Paul says it's his judgment, verse 10, that this giving, this hospitality, he calls the Corinthian church to, benefits those who give, not in some way that makes them superior, but in a way that shows that it is mutual. Rosaria Butterfield, in her book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, gets at this when she says counterfeit hospitality. She talks about that's the opposite of Christian gospel, true hospitality. Counterfeit hospitality creates false divisions and false binaries. There are noble givers and needy receivers, or hired givers and privileged receivers. But, she says, and Paul says, true hospitality is for the benefit of both the one who gives and the one who receives, that the one who gives has something to give back to the one who is giving, that it's not this hierarchical caste system where I give to you who are poor and needy and I stay up here and I bless you, but I never step down in there. You can come to me, but I stay up here. No, it's not because it makes you feel special or different or better, but because true hospitality actually blesses you both. That in the giving, you receive something from the one who receives, and in the receiving, you have something from the one who gives, and you are both blessed together. There is something more that happens in true hospitality when we are together. There is a leveling of the playing field, not a stratifying of I have these things and you don't, but that I need you. I need to see Christ through what you teach me about what it is to receive in this way. And I need to see Christ through what you teach me about what it is to give in this way, that both of us, the giving and the receiving, see Jesus through one another. That there is a mutuality to these things. It is not about I have and you do not. It's that we have something in Jesus and we get to see that together. We're shoulder to shoulder in this thing. It's us against the problem, because in it being us, we are connected. We are not alone. Christian hospitality does not seek to leave you alone. We both have things to give to one another, no matter our status. This is biblical hospitality, a togetherness that blesses both the one who gives and the one who would receive equally, that we would both be blessed, where we both have dignity, where we both have something to offer, where we take turns being the one who receives and the one who gives, where there isn't some distinction about I look down on you because I have these things, even if I do it in a magnanimous, charitable way, but that you and I together are sisters and brothers in Christ who are level equals, who are mutually in this us against the problem kind of life together. And so if that's the what of it, this heart disposition towards others, where there is a leveling of the playing field, where we give and receive, not to have status, but to be together against the problems that we face, then when are we called to show a togetherness, a welcome like this, to get into our second point? Well, Paul says that we practice this kind of hospitality at least three different times. He says we do this in normal times, verse 7, as a normal part of life. We'll talk about each of these. We do it in the worst times, verse 2, even when we're in affliction. And we do it even after times where we've stopped, verses 10 through 11. Coming back to the first one there, Paul says that as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace, this hospitality, this generosity also. So those things, your faith, your speech, your knowledge, your genuineness, your love, those would be things that Christians would expect, and I think you would say you still expect, to be doing every day. That you expect to be expressing faith every day, expressing love every day, using your words for good and not for harm every day. Paul's saying in the same way that you would do those things every day, as a normal part of your life, practice welcoming others. Practice hospitality. In other words, it should be a normal part of the Christian life. Not something we do occasionally. Not we sometimes host a group of friends, or we sometimes go out, or we sometimes do this, but it is a fundamental heart posture, and it is a regular, normal part of our life that we seek to welcome others. And because it's a mindset, it's a posture, it's like love or faith, it's just the way we're supposed to be in the world. It is not an event, it is a way of being. That's why it can be a normal part of life. The special, extreme kinds of lavish hospitality can't be a part of everyday life. Maybe for the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. But this can't be something, especially for the Christian church, which was historically poor and impoverished, it can't be something that has to be just for the 1% of the 1%. It has to be ordinary. It has to be accessible. It's a way of being, and so you can be that way all the time. So when do we do it? Like normal things, we do it regularly. And as such, it's also something that we can do, as Paul talks about it the second time that we do it, when we are suffering, when we're in affliction. He says in verses 1 through 2, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." It was in severe affliction, really hard times. It was in extreme poverty, not just poverty, extreme poverty, the most drastic of financial situations, that these sisters and brothers showed welcome and hospitality to someone outside of their city. Away from where they are, they showed an us against the problem kind of mindset to others, not after, not before, but during extreme suffering and poverty. Paul's saying, they did that then. Hospitality, this heart posture, is something you can do even then. And when we recognize that, it really starts to open up the definition of hospitality for us, because it's not something that rich people do for poor people. It's not something that people do who are happy and excited, who feel good, do something for those who feel sad and lonely and afflicted. It's something we can do in any season, because it is a posture of the heart. And that means we have something meaningful to share no matter what season of life you are in. It's not just for the good times that you are a hospitable and welcome person, that you get to be someone who has something to offer, someone who is also worthy of receiving in any season of your life. We have something to offer even when we are afflicted, even when we're going through the worst times, even when we're having the worst health experiences, or even when our life is in decline. Studies have shown that having something to take care of, or even something to visit, like having a service dog come to an assisted living facility, dramatically improves the lives of those who otherwise might see more decay and breakdown, because there's a sense in which they have something to offer. They have something to give. There is something meaningful about them. It shows that hospitality, welcoming the needs of others, improves the lives of those who need hospitality. Showing welcome and hospitality improves your life when you need welcome and hospitality. It tells you that when you feel weak and lonely and worthless, you are worthy and have something worth sharing. That your circumstances don't get to tell you whether you have something to give. That is a life-giving hospitality. And you might say, yes, it is, and I don't have time for that. Or, yes, it is, and it's a little late for me. But I haven't gotten back to this for a while, or you're just making me think about it for the first time today, and it's not that life-giving for me. Hearing you talk about it feels really draining. Listen, I was getting into this week. It felt draining, right? It is hard. But Paul says it is not too late. He says, verses 10 through 11, that this benefits you who, what's the time? A year ago, started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it well. The Corinthian church that he is writing to started, it seems, but stopped. The Macedonian church had started and brought hospitality to others. The Corinthian church had started and there was a delay. There was a big pause for a whole year. They left off of this us against the problem mindset. It stopped being normal for them. It started becoming occasional. Like maybe you have that thing in your house or apartment. I will clean that one day. I will put that away. I will do something with that. We all have that drawer where there are things in there for that sometime period. Right? Hospitality had become like that to them. Something for another day, just a little bit in a junk drawer. Yet Paul invites them to go back to what they started. He doesn't say, it's been a year, I'm done with you. You had your chance, it's over. No, he says it's not too late to start living a life of welcome. Even if you said you would start doing it and then you stopped. Even if you said, this is what I'm going to be about, I really want to do this, and yet life got in the way and I stopped. Paul's saying there is always time to restart. Why not now? Why not now? There's never going to be a perfect time. And it's not about you having the perfect circumstances. You're not too poor. You're not too afflicted. It's not too late. You don't have too little. You are able to enter in to the mutual blessing of hospitality at any time, no matter how long it's been, no matter how little you feel like you have to invest in this. There is room, there is time for you. This is biblical hospitality, something for all people in all seasons, where everyone has something to give, where everyone can receive, where it's for everyone, not just for the few and the special. But it is hard. Having this heart posture is hard. So what gives us the ability, what's the source of that thing that lets you do it regularly? So it's not just this sort of drunk drawer, maybe I will get to this thing one day kind of life. How does hospitality as difficult as this, where it moves from being something I do every so often to being the way that I look at the world, how do we make that shift? Well, I want to talk about that in our last point here from verses 9 and 5. So we talk about the source of hospitality. And what these show us, thank God, is that hospitality is something you are given first before you ever give it away. Hospitality is something you get to receive before you have to share it. It's not something we are expected to come up with on our own. That's our expectation of ourselves, isn't it? I'm going to have to work harder. I'm going to have to try harder. I'm going to have to figure out some sort of way to be more welcoming, to change my grumpiness, to change my schedule, to change my home. I'm going to have to... No. It's not something we are expected to come up with on our own. Paul says it comes from someone else showing you hospitality first. Specifically from Christ showing us true hospitality first. Verse 9, this is a beautiful verse. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." How many rich people do you know who gave up all of their money for the sake of someone poor? Not to get something, not to invest in something that they wanted to do, some new project, but to give it all up so that someone else could have it while they are alive. Not an endowment, not some sort of benefit, not their name on a plaque, while they are alive, gave up everything they have so that those who were poor might become rich, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. That's what Paul says Jesus is about. That's the source of all that we share, of any welcome that we extend. This is the great benefit of Christian hospitality, that you are not expected to come up with it on your own. It is not a source that is in you. It is not sourced from around you. It is given to you to give away to others. It's that he has shared his wealth with us, and we have resources from him to give away, even when we are poor and afflicted, because it's not our wealth. It's not our circumstances. It's his wealth given to us, no matter what your circumstance is. It's something he decided to do in our lives because he had this us against the problem kind of mindset. Jesus doesn't look at us in our problems and our brokenness and go, ew, oof, no, don't have time for this. You and I might feel that way. You might walk into a restaurant and think, ooh, no, not going to be eating here today. Not going to go into that bathroom, that's for sure, right? We don't have that kind of mindset of, I see the ugliness and I think I will enter in and engage this. Jesus has this us against the problem mindset, that you are not going to be on your own, that I am carrying this burden with you. Jesus says, if you're poor, I'm stepping into your poverty. If you are miserable and afflicted, I know what that means. I've stepped into that. I'm for you. I'm with you in that thing. He became poor and afflicted for us. This is the great shocking message of Christianity. We get so used to this idea, but this was a shock when it first came, that the God of gods, who was wealthy beyond imagining and being the creator of all things, would step in to have nothing, that he would be born as a poor person in a poor part of the world with no rights, as a second-class citizen. His family being so poor that when they came and gave their offering, they gave the biblically lowest amount that you could possibly give as an offering. They were that poor. He met the poorest of us there. Do you feel like you are in dire financial straits right now? Do you know that Jesus came to have an us against the problem meeting with you there? He became poor and afflicted for us in his life. He gave away his time, his energy, his care. Jesus is so often, when you read the gospel, just exhausted. He is giving so much. He's tired. He's trying to rest. And more people come and he sees them and he says he has compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were those who had problems without someone to step into the problems with them. And he had compassion on them. He gave his life, his teaching, to meet our neediness in these things. And ultimately, he became poor and afflicted in his death. He gave up the riches of power, where someone tries to come at you and you just say no. He gave up the powers and the riches of respect, of having people speak well of him, of being welcomed, of being seen as righteous. He gave up the riches of life itself to become powerless, disrespected, unwelcome, unrighteous, and to ultimately give up his life itself for us at the cross. All so that he could give his wealth to our spiritual poverty, dying there that you might have the wealth that is his just by grace, just as a welcome extended to you. He gave up his wealth to meet the poverty of our lives, and he gives himself first to us. And that is what we carry with us. It's out of response to his welcome, not out of nothing, but out of his everything that he hands to us. Like the Macedonians in verse 5, like they gave themselves to the Lord, we give ourselves to the one who first gave himself to us. We respond to what's been already done for you. And in that, we enter into this mutuality of hospitality with God himself, where he welcomes us and we respond by welcoming him in, giving ourselves to him for the welcome and the hospitality that he has showed us in Jesus Christ. We enter into this strange, mysterious dance where the creator of the universe would want to welcome you and receive your welcome. How many wealthy and powerful people do you know that want to receive you? They want to welcome you in. This is countercultural. This is against everything we understand about power and authority and riches, that someone like this would want to be near you, not because they were desperate and poor and needed what you have, because they loved to welcome you. See, our posture of welcome starts with his posture of welcome towards us. Verses 5 and 9 show us that we, in our being welcomed by him, we welcome him return, and we learn what it is to welcome others through the fact that he has welcomed us. Our posture towards the world becomes welcome through the fact that he has welcomed us, that he sends us out in that thing. You go equipped not with your own welcome, but with his radical welcome, his radical giving up everything for you who had spiritually nothing. We learn our welcome from him, with him. It's him that we take. It's him that we share. It's him, the scripture says, that we proclaim. It's not my hospitality. It's not your hospitality. It is the hospitality of God himself welcoming you, extending you the friendship of God that you share with others in all the unique ways that he has made you to share that, in the smallest ways that he has made you to share that, in the greatest ways that he has made you to share that. That's how we do this for others, by sharing him. That's how we do this us against the problem kind of life, with his riches for our poverty, with his welcome for our need, with his grace for our affliction. So how do we do that more practically? How do we start down some of this road? As we come to a close, I want to encourage us to do two things more practically this week: to rethink and to think. I believe this passage invites us to rethink what we know about hospitality. So where do you have a particular picture of hospitality where you expect yourself to do certain things? I want to ask you, think about that this week, today. Where do I think that hospitality means I do this at this certain time with these certain resources? Is it that I expect myself to have to host something, to have a home where I can host? Do I expect myself to have a certain personality, the excited person that's always happy to welcome you? That's the only time I'll do that, I promise. Do you expect yourself to have a certain amount of money? I can do that once I get here, once I get there in my career, once I get out of school, once I get out of debt, whatever it is. Do I expect that it's about me giving to people in need, but not receiving from them? It's not mutual. I just hand something and I walk away. There's no engagement. There's no idea that they have something to give to me too, that there is connection here. I invite you to rethink hospitality in light of this passage this week and see where it leads you. What does that change about what you think about this is? Knowing that Jesus is the one who welcomes you, how does that change what you think about what you have to give away? Knowing that you are just drawing on his unimaginably deep pockets of generosity and grace. Because this provides us a much richer picture of an in any season, of a way of being, one that's available to us, revitalizing us, something that we can share no matter who we are or what we have. And that is something that we need and the world around us needs. And I want you finally to think about a goal. Later in the series, probably more like May or June, we're going to have a seminar that's going to be designed around how do we grow our hospitality, our welcome goals. How do we grow into these things so that the desires Paul talks about become things that we actually finish, verse 11. How does that happen? We're going to get into that more and have that be a collective growth effort on behalf of us as individuals and our church and showing hospitality to one another. But between now and then, I want to invite you to start thinking about how you would desire to show more welcome to someone. How you would even desire to be more welcomed. Who would you like to welcome more? Who would you like to be more welcoming to as a person that right now maybe you don't? You don't welcome them very much. You walk right by them. Maybe you walk right by them here. You never say hi to them. Who would you like to be more welcoming to? How would you like to be more welcoming? Where would you like to be more welcoming? When? With what? With a smile? With a word? With time, how would you like to be more welcoming? Maybe you need to receive more welcome first. Maybe that's your goal, is I need to receive the welcome of Jesus. I need to have something that I can actually give away. I need to come back to the one who has given me so much. Maybe that's the simple goal. It's just to come back and receive what is so freely given to you. But just start sitting with this. What do I want to think about? What's God putting on my heart as a desire to be welcomed and welcoming like this? Because it is not too late. You do not have too little, because it doesn't depend on you. Let's pray. We'd like to leave a little time here for you to talk to God about some of the things that we just talked about. Maybe thanking him that he welcomes us like this, that he welcomes us first. Maybe confessing the ways that you don't really want that kind of mutuality. That does feel better to feel like I have something to give away. I don't want to be connected with them, whoever they are. Maybe asking God to give us a desire to welcome others as we have been welcomed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you welcome us like this. This is the kind of hospitality that you give. That you invite us to enter in, to be dignified and to have dignity, to have something to share. Would you share more of who you are with us now, that we might walk away with something to give? In your name we pray. Amen.